In today's gospel, Christ speaks of the love of the Father poured forth in the Son. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There was a little story going around a couple of years ago that some of you might have heard about this small commuter jet that just did little hops between cities, only had 8 or 10 seats in it. This particular day, there were only 3 passengers on the plane: an atomic scientist, a Boy Scout, and a priest. So the plane's going along, and all of a sudden they hear this big bang. They look out the window, and one of the motors is on fire. It's only got 2 engines on the plane. One of the engines is on fire. So almost immediately, the cabin door flies open, and out rushes the pilot. And he says, "The plane's going down. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. It's going to crash. I'm sorry. And I made a mistake. I only packed 3 parachutes. I've got a wife and family. They need me. I'm sorry." He grabs a parachute. He jumps out. The atomic scientist stands up and he says, "I'm the smartest man in the world. The world cannot get by without me." He grabs a parachute. He jumps out. Now there's 1 parachute left for the Boy Scout and the priest. So the priest looks at the Boy Scout and he says, "Well, my son," he said, "you know, I'm in a kind of old man now and I've had a long, good life. You're just starting out. You take the last parachute." Boy Scout says, "Father, don't worry. We're going to be all right. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane wearing my knapsack." Well, I know that I'm not the smartest man in the world. But I was reminded of it during this week when I was thinking about what I could share with you on this feast of the Holy Trinity. I mean, what can we say about the Trinity? I almost thought to myself, I wish I had the chance to grab the Boy Scout's knapsack and jump out of the plane, you know. What can we say about the Trinity that makes any sense to us? 1 God, 3 persons, equal in majesty, undivided, 1 substance. What does that mean to us? How can we possibly say anything meaningful about that? And yet, when you stop to think about it, every time we gather here at Mass, our whole worship is based around the Trinity. When we began Mass this morning, how did we begin? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At the end of Mass, when I give you the final blessing, what am I going to say? May you be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we sang or recited the Gloria just a few minutes ago, we talked about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We gave them glory. When we recite the Creed in just a few minutes, we once again will mention the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this morning, when I say the Eucharistic prayer, the prayer consecrating the bread and wine, listen carefully about how many times in that prayer we pray to the Father through the Son in the unity of the Spirit. So we may not understand clearly at all, really, how God can be 1 in 3, but our whole worship, our whole faith is based around that. Why is that? Because that's what Christ revealed about God. This is not something, the Trinity is not something that some little monk in a cell in the second century came up with. You know, isn't that a nice idea? I think I'll talk about God as a Trinity. No, no. It was revealed to us by the Lord himself. We see in the second reading today from the letter to the Corinthians. And remember, that letter was written in the mid-50s, barely 20 or 30 years after Jesus died and rose. And how does Paul end the letter? By invoking the Trinity. May the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, bless you. So this is what Christ has revealed to us about God. Christ has revealed the Father, to whom he is the Son, but equal in majesty, and from whom come the Holy Spirit to give us life. We cannot possibly understand that. Don't understand how it can be one in three, but one, but three, but we don't understand it. But that's what God has revealed to us about himself. And that's why we proclaim a Trinitarian faith. Not three gods, one God, three persons. But what does that mean? Well, I don't know. But that's what God has revealed to us about himself. But you know what I think we can say on this day, if we don't understand that great mystery? What it says to us is something very important. That our God is a much greater God than we sometimes imagine. Now, there's a temptation for us to try to bring God down to our own level, you know. But think about this. If we could understand God with our human minds, God would be no greater than we are. If our minds could grasp him, he would be on our level. Thank God that's not the case. Our God is much more majestic, much more, we can't possibly imagine, even begin to imagine God. The power, the majesty, the beauty of God. You know, we use the word holy. When we pray at Mass today, holy, 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 those words come from the book of the prophet Isaiah, who has a vision of God and the angels and so forth, proclaiming God, holy, holy, holy. The word holy in that context does not mean morally pure. We use the word that way, don't we? We say someone's holy. They live a good life. They're really... That's not what the word holy means in its original form. The word holy means other. You are other. You are different. You are great. You are majestic, holy, different from us. You are God. That's what the word holy means. And I was thinking the other day, I read something someplace that not long ago, a group of astrophysicists was studying this phenomenon they discovered in the universe. A supernova, a giant heated star, exploded. You know what they concluded from that? This star released in 1 second, this explosion, 1 second, that star released more power than our own sun would release in 10 billion years. Imagine that. In 1 second, the power that was released from that explosion, more powerful than what our sun will release in 10 billion years. Not only that, and this is even more mind-boggling, they concluded that that explosion took place 167,000 years ago. It took the light from that explosion, traveling at 6 trillion miles a year, 167,000 years to get here. Now, I mean, it's imponderable. It doesn't make any sense to us. But see, God is behind all that. That's the God who created everything is behind all that. How holy, how other, how different, how majestic. We can't make our God too small. The Trinity, when we don't understand the Trinity, reminds us that we can't make our God too small. But the other thing that's amazing about this is that God, that majestic, almighty, all-powerful God, has chosen to create you. To create me. in love. Imagine that. That God, that Father, in love has chosen to create you. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? That great God, beyond all of our understanding and imagining, has chosen to love you into existence. How wonderful is that? You know, there's a psalm. The psalmist in the Old Testament writes this: O God, when I consider the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you put in place, I say, what is man? What is man compared to all that? But you have chosen to make him little less than the angels. And what's even more amazing is that God, when we, who he loved into existence, turned away from him, didn't abandon us. He could have. I might be tempted to do that, wouldn't you? Well, nice try. That universe didn't work. I think I'll make another one. He doesn't do that. He won't lose anything of which he's created. He sends Christ to us to save us. How marvelous, huh? How wonderful. There's a wonderful little version of one of Dennis the Menace cartoon little things, you know. And you see Dennis in this episode kneeling down at his bed saying his night prayers. Dennis is, he's surrounded by all his stuffed animals there and everything, and he's kneeling down and he's looking up and he's saying, oh God, thank you for inventing me. Thank you for inventing me. Because each of us can make that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for loving me into existence and for not abandoning us, not abandoning me, but sending me your Son to save me. That's what we celebrate today, you see. The majesty and the power of that God who loves us. We can't understand him, the Trinity. We just will never understand all that. We believe it because that's what Christ revealed to us. But isn't it wonderful to think that majestic, other, all-powerful God, responsible for not only for creating everything, but for holding everything into existence. If that God stopped thinking about any one of us or the universe for 1 minute, it would cease to exist. How wonderful that God loved us into existence and even saved us. You know what I think? I think if you and I understand that, and I don't mean we can get inside the mystery of God's nature, but if we understand that we have a very big God who loves us with a very big love, you know what that means? If we base our life on that, it means that you and I are the smartest people in the world. May God bless you.